Hi friends, welcome back to the Bible Project Daily Podcast. And the project is to work through the entire Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse, thus making the study of the Bible part of the rhythm of your daily life. You're very welcome whether you're here for the very first time or you've been on this journey with us for a couple of years now, nearly 500 episodes. If you are here for the first time, then why not click on that subscribe button and open your life to the possibility of having it transformed by the study of the Word of God every day. New episodes are posted every day, Monday to Friday, so you can choose to drop in today and follow along with us, or you can even choose if you want to go right back to the beginning and begin that journey at whatever pace that suits and is good for you. So thank you again for being with me today, and do hang on at the end where I'll tell you lots of ways where you can connect with this ministry and access other free Bible teaching resources. Bye for now. Okay friends, today we're going to begin a new chapter, Matthew chapter 20, and we're going to be looking at the first 16 verses, and I've called today's talk, "The Last Shall Be First," which you shall very soon see why, because that is a phrase that bookends this whole passage. But before I do that, let me just ask you a question. Well, actually, let me just tell you something. When I was young, my brother and I, we had a very intense sibling rivalry. Perhaps when you were young, if you had other siblings, that was something that you experienced also. Maybe, like me, when you were small, you felt that your parents treated you unfairly when you compared yourself to your brother or sister. But let me ask you another question, more important one really. Have you ever felt that God has treated you that way, that God has ever treated you unfairly? Have you ever looked around and see what is happening in the lives of others and feel that God is treating those people better than you? I'm sure some of us can identify with that. It is in human nature something we are inclined to feel. So have you ever felt that you've been untreated unfairly in life, or in terms of your relationship with God? Well, with that in mind, what we're going to do is we're going to look at what Jesus says specifically about that sort of things on this occasion we're looking at today. But first, I'd like to read for you again the last verse of the passage we closed off last time, the last verse of Matthew chapter 19, in fact, verse 30, where Jesus said, "The first shall be last, and the last shall be first." Now, if you've been with us all along, you'll know that in this series, season 3, we've been going through the Gospel of Matthew. And that was the statement, like I said, that was made a last time, yesterday's episode, when we finished looking at chapter 19. Now, when you hear a statement like that, does it strike you as potentially being a bit unfair? It might sound that way on the surface, but does that mean that if that's so, that God is unfair in his treatment of some people? What does it mean? Well, interestingly enough, Jesus, he makes that statement, yes, at the end of chapter 19 in this Gospel of Matthew, but now he's going to explain it in some detail in the first part of chapter 20. So with that in mind, either read along or listen to me as I read for you Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. And in my Bible, this is titled "The Parable of the Workers in the Vineyard." And it says, "For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire labourers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the labourers for a denarius a day, he sent them into his vineyard. He then went out again about the third hour and saw others standing idly in the marketplace, and he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you.' So they went. Again he went out about the sixth hour and the ninth hour, and did likewise. And at about the 11th hour he went out, and there were found others standing idly by. And he said to them, 'Why have you been standing here idle all day?' They said to him, 'Because no one has hired us.' And he said to them, 'You also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive.' So when evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his steward, 'Call the labourers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first.' And when they came to them, those who were hired at the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise each received a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, "These last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us, who have borne the burden and the heat of the day." But he answered one of them and said, "Friend, am I doing you wrong? Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go on your way. I wish to give this last man the same as I gave to you. Is it not lawful for me to do as I wish with my own things? Or is your eye evil because I am good? So the last will be first, and the first will be last. For many are called, but few are chosen." So this is the first opening part of this passage in chapter 20, and Jesus tells us a parable about a landowner who hires labourers. In the second part of this passage I read, we saw that he tells us how those labourers were paid, and at the end of the passage, the landowner in this story, what I could say, words are put in his mouth which can teach us some lessons about what this story means, the basis of it, and how it can be applied. So today we're going to look at this entire 16-verse passage, and we're going to look at it in the three parts: the hiring of the labourers, the paying of the labourers, and the lessons that we can learn. So let's go back and begin again at verse 1, and notice that chapter 20, verse 1, the very first word of chapter 20 begins with the word "for," F-O-R. Now, as you have heard me explain before, and no doubt you'll hear me explain again, that any time you see the word "for" at the beginning of a sentence in the New Testament, it means it's explaining that which has been said previously. Now, in this case, we see there's a chapter break in our modern Bibles, and in some ways that's unfortunate. These chapter breaks were not in the original text, remember, so when we reach the end of chapter 19 and we hear Jesus say the first will be last and the last first, forget the chapter break, because in the very next verse he's now explaining what he's just said. And the reason we know this is at the end of the passage, the one I've just read in chapter 20, verse 16, he says it again to summarize what he has just been teaching, when he says, "So the last will be first, and the first last," adding, "Many are called, but few are chosen." So this is him summarizing what this passage has just explained to those in these little phrases that bookend this passage. The parable itself is fairly straightforward. He says, "The kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire labourers for his vineyard, and he agrees with the labourers a day rate of a denarius a day, and then he sends them out into the vineyard." Now, what is significant here is that this parable, firstly, should be note that it involves day labourers. These are not slaves being talked about here. In other words, the landowner is not telling his slaves to go out in the vineyard. Rather, he's going into the marketplace and he's finding day labourers and hiring them and paying them for one day's labour. As a matter of fact, the text tells us in verse 2 that he agrees with the labourers a wage of a denarius a day. Notice the word "agreed." That is important and significant, as we'll see later. In other words, he enters into a contract with them to work for one day in return for a denarius as a day's wage. Now, we also need to note that this first group are described as being hired early in the morning. Now, remember, as far as the clock was concerned and the hour of days were concerned, their Jewish day started at 6 a.m. in the morning. So this initial group are hired sometime between sunrise and certainly no later than 9 a.m. in the morning. So this landowner hires a crew, we would call it today, and he does that early in the morning, at the beginning of the day, and he enters into a contract with them, and then he sends them out into the vineyard. The next thing it says is the landowner goes out again about the third hour, so 3 hours later, and he sees others standing in the marketplace, and he says to them, "You also go into my vineyard," and this time he says, "Whatever is right, I will give you." Now, this is the second group. The first group was hired early in the morning. The second group is probably hired certainly no later than noon. So the second group is a group of day labourers, and the landowner hires them, and he agrees them this time to pay them a fair day rate in principle. When he actually says that he will pay them whatever is right, I will give you. In other words, they accept that and they go. In this second group, they have no contract with them this time. They only have a promise. A promise that he says that he will be fair with them and do what is right. Then there is a third group. And then again, he went out. It tells us that he goes out about the sixth and again about the ninth hour, and he does the same. And let me remind you that the day began at 6 a.m. So now we're talking about groups of men being hired in the neighbourhood of 3 p.m. in the afternoon, and then another group later even than that. With these next group, he also says, I will do what is right by you. So there's no contract, only a promise. Then there's a group, and we'll call this group the last group, who he actually goes out and picks them up and hires them at the 11th hour, an actual hour before the close of the day. So he's probably hiring them around 5 p.m. in the afternoon, and they're only going to have to work until 6, so this last group will only get hired for 1 hour. But again, notice the text is very clear. He doesn't make a contract or an agreement with them as to what they'll get paid. He simply says to them, I will do what is right by you. So in these verses, we see that the landowner has hired various groups of people at different times during the day, and he makes a contract with the first group to give them the day's wages, but the other group, he simply says, I will do what is right by you. Some were hired before 9 in the morning, some were hired at noon, some were hired at 3, and some were hired at 5 o'clock, an hour before the end of the day. And these later groups, all he did was give them a promise to pay them fairly. So that's the narrative, and that's the first part of the narrative. The second part of this passage is going to tell us about what happens when they're actually paid. And this is where the plot thickens. We are told at the end of the day, when evening comes, the owner of the land calls them to come to a steward and get their wages, beginning with the last to the first. Now there was a law in the law of Moses, legislation that said that you should pay day labourers at the end of the day. So the landowner is doing what the law of Moses was instructed, and you'll find that law in Leviticus chapter 19. The shock here is that he pays them all the same day rate. The text tells us that they received the wages all the same, and the first group to be hired, when they see what the others are getting, they grumble against the landowner, saying that these men have worked only some of them only 1 hour, and you're paying them the same as us who have worked all day long, even saying that they've worked in the midday sun. Now keep in mind that this first group had a contract to work all day for a denarius, and we can assume that they were happy with that when it was offered, and the landowner lived up to his contract and he paid them that agreed amount. Yet they still complained based on not what he had paid them, but what he had paid others, and only because they felt they were being treated unfairly in comparison. Next in this passage, Jesus will now explain what this parable means. In fact, he puts words into the mouth of the landowner in the story so that the landowner, in effect, explains what he did and why he did it. So fasten your seatbelt, friends, because it gets interesting here. The landowner agrees to pay them, but then he challenges them who are grumbling by saying, did you not agree with me a denarius for a day's work? Take what is yours and go on your way. Then he says, first of all, I did what was right by you, and I entered into a legal agreement, and I lived up to that agreement. As a matter of fact, the idea that he did what was right is the recurring theme throughout this whole passage. That phrase is used several times. Remember the second group he hired, which was at between 9 and 12 in the morning, in verse 4, and he just simply says to them, I'll do whatever is right. I will give to you what is fair. And that's what he says throughout the remainder of the day, every time he hires another group of labourers. Now obviously the landowner represents God here, and Jesus is pointing out that God entered into a contract, into an agreement with us, with them, with the Jewish people, and he did what was right in fulfilling that contract. The second thing he says, if I wish to give the last man the same as you, it is lawful for me to do that, because I can do what I wish with my own things. So he's sovereign, so to speak, and that's why we see him say, I wish to give this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do what I wish? So he's arguing that the landowner, or God, if you will, is always sovereign over his own provisions, and he can do with them whatever he wills. But there's a third point made here, and I think in many ways it's the most interesting of the three. The landowner responds to them by saying, is it evil in your eye to you because I am good? This little evil in your eye is a term that refers to what we would today call being jealous, or more specifically, having a grudging spirit. It is a reference to being envious of others. And he's saying, your problem is the fact that you're comparing yourself with other people, and that is making you jealous. However, that problem is not with me, that problem is not God's, because he can do what he wants to do, and what is his. I did what is right by you, the landowner is seen to say, and he points out that these people are comparing themselves with the other people, which consequently means that they have become jealous. And isn't that a common problem in the modern world? Then Jesus ends this passage with a very similar refrain to the one that opened it, and he does so by saying again, so the last will be first, and the first will be last, adding, for many are called, but few are chosen. Now, I know this sounds like the same thing he said at the end of chapter 19, and in a sense it is, but in another sense it's slightly different, because in chapter 19 he says, but many who are first will be last, and the last first, but by the end of the parable in chapter 20 he says, and the last will be first. Did you get the difference? He reverses the order here. This is a different order in chapter 19 than the order in which the phrase is used at the end of verse 16 in chapter 20. So there's a slight difference here, mirroring the change of direction and the change of order of the parable itself. Therefore, the principle is that in these cases, and in life, and in the ministry of the grace of God, we will often see that the first will be last and the last first. That's the lesson. That's the ultimate lesson here. And then he adds the little phrase that many are called and few are chosen. Now, this little statement, these little phrases that bookend this passage, are often unpacked and explained as applying to salvation. God calls many to salvation, but few are chosen. And that is definitely true. But in my estimation, this passage is not just about salvation. It's also talking very clearly about Christian service. After we've been called into service, our attitude towards Christian service. So the point is that we're called to serve, and many are called, but few will actually show up with the right attitude. And it wants to tell us why having that wrong attitude is detrimental to us and our relationship with the Lord. The thing is, many are called to serve the Lord, but few show up with the proper attitude. So I would say the point being made here is, the big point is that God is sovereign. He's righteous and he's faithful to his promises. And we should never complain about how he treats other people. Rather, we should focus on our attitude, on being grateful for what he's done for us. The parable is teaching that God will always keep his promises to those who serve him. But we must remember he remains sovereign, and he is the sole judge and arbitrator of who receives his grace and how he dispenses it. God keeps his promises to those who serve him, yet he remains sovereign master of this world. Listen again to what is said in verse 15 when it says, is it not lawful for me to do what I wish with my own thing? You see, this is all about the sovereignty of God. In other words, God is righteous, God is sovereign, God is good, and finally, God is faithful to his promises, no matter at what point we receive it. The first group, they agreed to go out and labour in the field for him for a denarius, for a day's labour, and he did for them exactly what he said he was going to do. The point being, God will reward those and any who sacrificially serve him, but beyond that, he allows those who come in later to not only serve him, but receive a full reward also. The bottom line is this, that this is never a matter of God being unfair, regardless of how these hard people felt about it. Rather, it is about God doing something that he promised, being faithful to his word. I think the bottom line of this passage is indeed in the last verse. God rewards those who serve him, and he allows those who come in later to work and gain that full reward also. Let me apply this teaching and mention three ways in which I really believe this passage can be applied. Firstly, we can apply it historically to the Jews, the Jewish nation. God, you see, established a covenant with the Jews, and I think it's significant that in this parable, the landowner made an agreement with those he hired first. And that's simply an illustration of the fact that God entered into an agreement with the Jews, but then later on, he included the Gentiles. The passage, I believe, is teaching that the Jews needed to recognize that the Gentiles came into the kingdom, that once they came into the kingdom, they too could benefit from God's salvation. Yes, it was to the Jew first, but as Paul says in Romans chapter 1, verse 16, it is also to the Greek. In other words, God is allowing those who come in later to also receive the full reward and blessing of his covenant promise. Don't miss the point of this passage, or you're in danger of being like the first group who were hired and then walk away dissatisfied. If you don't grasp hold of the teaching of this, you're in great danger of developing, of not having, shall I say, the proper attitude towards God. God allowed those who came in last to get the same reward as those who came in first. And just as God made a covenant with the Jews, and he kept that covenant, he later sovereignly allowed the Gentiles, the rest of the nations of the world, to come in and receive his full reward and his promise, even though they came in later, even though some will come in the very last days. Secondly, I think this passage can be applied to those apostles on that day that Jesus was speaking to. The apostles were on the ground, so to speak. They came in at the very beginning, but soon afterwards others would come into the Lord's work, and the apostles needed to recognize that those who came in later would receive a full reward. Paul, in many ways, would come to eclipse many of these early disciples, because he was the one who, when it came to explaining the teachings of Christ to the wider world, well, few could question the fact that God used Paul specifically and mightily in that way, that God was right in allowing Paul the full reward. The Apostle Paul didn't even know or live during the lifetime of Christ, certainly not in the way the 12 apostles did. However, he came along later and he labored hard, and those like him who came in later, and in this case Paul, they were also able to receive a full reward. Jesus is indeed teaching that the last can be first in the sense that they will receive a good reward. And think about how this might apply to new people coming into your local church community and how welcome and how empowered we make them feel. But finally, I would like to suggest that this teaching can be applied to individuals, to everyone today. So it can be applied to the early Jews, it can be applied to the apostles of Jesus' day, but it also can be applied to us today. This can be applied to anyone, whether you were saved early in life or later in life, because when you turn to the Lord, you are entitled to gain his full reward. The problem is that some are envious and they complain when they see others coming in later and receiving that same blessing. So let me conclude by making a simple statement based on this passage. God is good and compassionate and far beyond us, his children's understanding. As a friend of mine once said, you know what, we are quick to understand and appreciate God's grace when it happens to us, but we're less inclined to understand God's grace when it applies to other people. So the big thing is here, friends, beware of comparing yourself to others. Beware of ending up jealous and complaining and with a bad attitude about what God has done for you in your life. This parable emphasizes having a right attitude in all our service, and that right attitude involves simply trusting God in what he's done. Those hired later in the day did not even have an agreement before they went to work. The landowner promised to pay them what was right, and that is said three times in the passage, and these later labourers simply trusted in the goodness of the landlord. But you know what, friends? In the final analysis, those of us who were hired first or early on, in a sense, well, we get to serve the Master, we get to serve God longer. But I do think this passage is teaching that when we compare ourselves to others, we're inclined to get envious and jealous. But when we simply look at the Lord and realise that he's righteous and that he's good and what he's done for us and that he's faithful to fulfil his promises, then we can trust in him to do what is right, and whatever we are called to do, and forever how long we're called to do it, we can do it with joy and gratitude. You know, years ago, airlines used to serve really great meals on flights. It was seen as an elite thing. This was long before budget airlines. And I remember my dad talking about those days. You always got a very posh meal when you flew. And I once heard him speak about when he went to Singapore in 1976 to attend a mission conference with 20 or so other missionaries from the UK. Now, the flight was completely full, and the meal that was served was steak. As I said, they don't do that sort of thing anymore, do they? But they ran out of steaks when they got towards the back of the plane where my father was sitting, and the man in the row behind him, a friend of my dad, a missionary from Scotland, they had no steaks left when they reached him. They had the vegetables, they had the potatoes and the other trimmings. So what they served him was actually a pâté from a hamburger instead of a steak, which everybody else got. That man later told my dad and said, you know, his first thought was to complain. But then, according to his own words, his own testimony, he said, I remembered that all they had promised me when I bought the ticket was a meal. And it was their steak, and they can give it to whomsoever they will. So what he did was he adjusted and gratefully accepted what they offered. He adjusted his expectations. There is a powerful truth here in this passage, and we need to embrace it. And sometimes we too need to adjust our expectations, particularly when we're comparing what we have to other people. Because if we do that, and if you do that, it will save you from jealousy, envy, grumbling, complaining, and having a general bad attitude to life, and worse still, a bad attitude towards God. You see, we need to and we are called to serve the Lord sacrificially. And in doing that, we just simply need to trust in him and do what we can and do it with the right attitude, because we recognize that he is sovereign and he is righteous and he is good. Okay, people, that's it for today. I do hope you found it helpful, and we'll pick up exactly where we've left off today at verse 21 tomorrow. And I do hope I'll see you back here again tomorrow. Let me remind you that there's always a transcript of everything I say, as well as links to Bible teaching resources that I make available on lots of other places, including YouTube, Patreon, there's even a Facebook community page. Other ways you can connect to this ministry. And all those links should be live and active within the episode notes page of this podcast. The podcast is hosted at thebibleproject.buzzsprout.com, and that's where you'll find its home. If you're not seeing active links wherever you receive your podcast from, it doesn't really matter where you're getting it from, that's fine, and you can subscribe where you're getting it from. But if that platform isn't providing you with active links, access those other resources by visiting me, Jeremy McCandless, at thebibleproject.buzzsprout.com. And there you'll find other bits and pieces that I do believe many of you will find helpful. So with that all being said, thank you again for joining me today. I do hope you're benefiting as much as I am in the preparation of it by making the study of the Word of God part of the rhythm of your daily life. And I do hope that you've made the decision to follow along and complete this amazing project to work through the whole Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. So with that said, I'll say bye for now, and I'll see you again tomorrow. Well, it'll be tomorrow for me, but whatever day it happens to be for you, because work along, my friend, at whatever pace suits you. So with that all said, I just want to bless you and say bye-bye for now.